So we're on Daf Lamed Omer Aleph, and we're up to Gomru Es Hadavar, and if you could tell me where you can find Gomru Es Hadavar, and then we'll just go back to the Mishnah a little bit.
It's about two-thirds of the way down.
Two-thirds of the way down the arm.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Right.
23 lines to the bottom.
23 lines up from the bottom? Okay, that sounds good. Now, we're ready for the Gemara Din. That means we've gone through the following procedures. Number one, we took, if you remember, one of the two Eidim into a private room for interrogation. Then we took the second witness into a private room for investigation. And then it says, Hayumachnisim Osam. I'll just borrow this first one so I can give it right back to you. In other words, the Mishnah uses a kind of an ambiguous pronoun here. And we're not sure the Gemara is going to vacillate back and forth as to what the Mishnah has in mind here. So we're on Daf Chav Tes Amar Aleph for just a moment. And the Mishnah on Daf Chav Tes says, Hayimachnisin osin l'cheder, okay, fine, ma'aymin olav, they sort of intimidate the Eidim. Then they ask the Eidim what exactly they know, and if you remember, unless they heard Atem Eidai in the Hodah, it's not binding. So they do that to one aid, then they do it to another aid after the interrogations, and then Nimtzu Dvarav Divrei Mechuvanim. So we find now that the two witnesses actually coincide. There's no discrepancy between their testimony, and it says the following. They're ready for the Gemara Din. Shnayim Omrim Zakai, Echad Omer Chayev, fine. So the majority rules, and the Mishnah goes into a long discussion about what happens if one of the Dayanim says he doesn't know, fine. Gomru Es Hadavar, they're finally ready to hand down the final decision. Hayimachnisin Osan. And that's all it says. It says they concluded the matter, they reached a verdict, they would bring in them. Who's them? And then the Gol Shevdayonim, he announces the final verdict. So, Hayimachnisin Osan. What does that mean, they brought him in? So if you take a look at the English here, he says they brought in the litigants. What's going on? The litigants were not in the courtroom, that we have to bring them in? Very strange. So the Gemara says the following. Laman, who are we bringing in? Elam or Labali Dinam, if it means the litigants. Hasam Kaimi, that's exactly where they were. They're in the courtroom, nobody threw them out. Nowhere in the Mishnah does it say we have to ask them to leave. So the Dayanim have already heard the various claims and counterclaims of the plaintiff and the defendant. Does the Mishnah teach us that we have to send out the litigants at some point? They can't be there? Because Motzino Es Ha'odom L'chutz, that might be that we, somebody to whom the Eidus is irrelevant, maybe he should be asked to leave. But as far as the Bali Dinim is concerned, there's no reason that we should be motzi them b'chutz. And when the Eidim testify, the Bali Dinim should be there. Now, how do we know that the Bali Dinim should be there when the testimony is being given? So that's a Gemara at the end of Bava Kama. And the Gemara says, Ein mekablim es ha'edu shelo b'fnei bal din. In our Iyun Shirim in Sanhedrin, we had a long discussion about this. Like, for example, in the case of Hazama, right? Do you need Hazama in front of the Eidim Hamuzamim? Because they're the Bali Din. And this is derived from a parasha in Shara Muad. And the Chazal say, Yovel Bal Ashor V'yamin Al Shorah. In other words, the Balidinim are not excluded from presence, being present at, in the courtroom. On the contrary, the Balidinim must be there.
Well, while the Dayanim are doing their deliberations, maybe they're not supposed to be privy to that.
Excellent. Okay, so we're not ready for that yet, but we're gonna come to that conclusion a little bit later. And it could be that at some point we take the Balidinim out, we bring them back in, we're going to listen to them, we're going to take the Edom out, we're going to bring the Edom back in. That's a whole discussion, Gershon, that we're going to get to soon. But right now, the Gemara is of the opinion that there's no reason to ask the Balidinim to leave at any point. Now, he says the following. The Mishnah back on Daf Chav Tes says, "Uminayin l'chsheyetze hadayon lo yomer lebal adin ani mezake v'chaveri mechayvim." Now, remember, we spoke about rechilus. We spoke of the fact that the baladinim are not privy to the inside scoop as to which of the judges sided with which of the two Balidinim, you know what I mean, who are the dissenters and so forth, because otherwise, you know, one of the dissenters is going to say to the Baldin who lost the case, you know, I was on your side, and those were the bad guys, so to speak. In any event, it would seem that the Balidinim are not there, you know, as the entire deliberation process is going on, because if they were present, then would they not be privy to the information as to which of the dayanim, yeah, which of the judges of, you know, expressed which view in favor of this one, in favor of that one? And this is the kash of the Yad Ramah. The Yad Ramah says, why does Gemara assume that the Balidinim, the litigants, are there present in the courtroom? After all, if the litigants don't know which judge handed down which verdict in whose favor, then apparently they weren't there when the deliberations were going on. So the Yad Ramah, to explain the Havamin of Agamori, says that Balidin Hayusham Vishamu, they actually heard Mima Zaku Mima Chayev, and nevertheless he suggests that Osru Ledayin Lomar Kach LeBaladin. The only issue here is that if the judge says to, let's say Shimon lost the case, right? Shimon was the defendant, so he has to pay $1,000. He's saying, according to Yad Ramah, that Shimon, the defendant, was well aware of the fact that this particular Dayan, you know, had voted, or so to speak, had expressed an opinion in his favor. But the question is, what does the Dayan say? How do you formulate a sentence, in this case, to Shimon, the defendant who lost the case? If he says to the defendant the following, that Chaveri Mechayvim, my colleagues said Yochayev, Ani Mezak, I was in favor of you, Ma Eser, what can I do? Chaveri Rabu Olai, my colleagues are in the majority. I'm just the one single defender, you know, voice in the shadows here. He says about the Ched Ramah that's called biderech. No, it's the loshon is biderech loshon hara. He goes out of his way to find favor in the eyes of that litigant, again Shimon, as we said, who lost the case, ulahasni es chaverav, and he's sort of like dousing, you know, he's adding fuel to the flame by generating an even greater feeling of resentment or enmity towards those other judges. Now, I have to be honest with you, I'm not sure that that's the simple pshat in the Gemara, meaning the impression I got is that we're talking about creating a document after the verdict which is totally, conceals totally, you know, who voted in which direction. Do you follow what I mean? According to the Yad Ramah, the litigants are actually present in the courtroom, at least in this Hava Mina, at the time of the deliberations. They certainly knew, so, but we have to add a knage that the Dayanim might be tempted to violate Lashon Hara in a certain language. Yeah, but I don't know. We were discussing exactly how the shtar of the bez, the document, should be written up. But here he quotes the Ran. The Ran says the following: Bishosha hayu bezdin nosim v'nosim v'davar. It's true that there were deliberations, and the Gemara is assuming that the Bali Dinim are somewhere in the courtroom. But where are they in the courtroom? So the Ran says that they were in a Keren Zavis. In other words, we don't throw them out of the Bezdin, but we don't want them to know exactly which Dayan. So they see the backs of the Dayanim, if you know what I mean. That's not what he says, but I'm just trying to give it a visual perception that they see it from behind. They don't actually know who's saying what. You know, they're hearing, they don't have to go outside the Bezdin. And now, since they cannot really see, you know, they didn't have mirrors all around the courtroom so that they could see from the front and the back, they don't really know, these Bali Dinim, who said what, who is the Mazak and who is the Mechayev. But Al Kol Panim, they didn't have to leave the Bezdin. So this is all, again, to explain the Havamina of the Gemara, where the Gemara doesn't understand who exactly is being brought back into the Bezdin at the time of the final verdict. Who was asked to leave? Ella said, the Gemara wants to try a different approach to understand that Mishnah. And that is La'edim. That we have to take the Edim and bring them back in. So it means that according to what the Gemara is suggesting right now, the Edim are not present in the Bezdin. One aid was interrogated privately, the other aid was interrogated privately. And we accepted each testimony on its own, but now that's not sufficient. We have to introduce the Edim into the Bezdin. Why? Because they're going to have to repeat their Edus. Now this is fascinating. What the Gemara is suggesting in interpreting our mission is a brand new halacha, that the Edim actually have to testify twice. Once each Ed separately, and the second time in the presence of both Edim, or if they're three Edim, all three Edim. In other words, it's not enough that I testify in front of the witness, in front of the judges. I also have to testify in front of the other Ed. So, for the process of interrogation, we want to get each Ed separately, so that later we can compare notes and see if they're mechuvanos
for the bedika,
for the chakiris and the
chakiris.
Each aid is taken in private, into chambers.
Yeah. And the three and the Beit Din are there to listen. Is that correct?
Correct. All three judges, if there are more judges, they are alone in a room with each aid separately. Okay. Because we don't want them to hear what, you know, if I'm there to testify after you, that I might just parrot what you said and say it exactly so that the Dayanim will see no discrepancy. So to test it out, we have to take each aid separately. But at this point, that's only preliminary, because the Gemara is now suggesting that the actual Edus is going to take place when we bring in both Edim and they reiterate the testimony as two, you know, as a unit, what they testify
together.
Correct.
They will hear each other's testimony.
Correct, and each one will testify not only in the presence of the judges, but also in the presence of the other aid. And when both Edim are present together, and they each testify, again, you can't hear two voices at once, but one after the other, they'll testify. That creates what's called a tziruf kat, something that we should write on the board here, if I have a thing. We have something here? Oh, great. This is called tziruf kat. We're going to have a lot to talk about when we talk about Sirif Kat. Sirif, of course, means to integrate two individuals to form one unit. And in Eidos, when we talk about a unit, it's called a Kat. Kite Eidos. All right? A group. So now, how do we do a Sirif Kat? We've heard the testimony of Reuven, we heard the testimony of Shimon, but it was Shalom Bifnei Zeh. It was separated, not in the presence of each other. They can't become a unit now, according to this Havam. And again, you're going to see, we're going to fight this tooth and nail, but just understand where the Gemara is holding now. So at this point, the Gemara thinks that it's not enough to hear the testimony of each witness separately, Shalom Bifnei Ha'ed Hasheni, because we still don't have a Tziruf Kat. So Machnisin Es Ha'edim, now we bring the Edim into the courtroom, let them reiterate their testimony, each one in front of, in the presence of the other one, and that makes them into one Kat. And this is going to be a problem because of somebody by the name of Rabbi Nosson. Rabbi Nosson was one of the great Tanoim, And he doesn't believe that we have to have tziruf kat. It's enough that the witnesses testified separately and the Beis Din heard each one of the witnesses. There's no din of tziruf kat. Let's say it this way. Beis Din themselves will be mitzaref the kat by hearing the, you know, each is testimony. So the Gemara says, Keman, if this is the interpretation of our Mishnah, kelo, delo ki Rabbi Nosson, it's against Rabbi Nosson. Now we're going to learn a very, very important brisa. This is one of the most important central brisas in the laws of Eidus, in which Rabbi Nosson is going to fight against Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. Now, I just want to point out to you that there's something really interesting going on. The Gemara is trying very hard to reconcile our Mishnah with Rabbi Nosson. And when the Gemara says Keman de Loka Rabbi Nosson, the Gemara is all up in arms. You know, we have to read this with a certain inflection. Is that how you say it in English? Inflection?
Yeah.
De Loka Rabbi Nosson. Could it be that our Mishnah is against Rabbi Nosson, that we need Tziruf Kat? That's against Rabbi Nosson. Rabbi Nosson says, you know, we can hear the witnesses separately and we'll do the job of putting them together. They don't have to come together to testify one in front of the other as a group, as a unit. And to loke Rabbi Nosson. How could our Mishnah be against Rabbi Nosson? That's how you have to read it. So the Turi Evan, who is otherwise famous for another work that he wrote called the Shagas Aryeh, he writes that the reason why the Gemara is up in arms here, it can't be that our Mishnah undermines the Shita Rabbi Nosson, is because there's a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah on Daf Chav Gimel Amid Beis, which is called the Stam Mishnah, and that Stam Mishnah reflects the Shita Rabbi Nosson. The Mishnah there is talking about Kiddush HaChodesh, and the Mishnah says that two witnesses testify that they saw the new moon. Each witness is taken separately, and we don't have to hear the witnesses one in front of the other. And that Mishnah, although it doesn't mention Rabbi Nosson's name, is what we call a Stam Mishnah. Are you familiar with that?
Mm-hmm.
That phrase, a stamish. Stam is an anonymous Mishnah.
Okay, yeah.
What Rabbi Yehuda Nasi did a brilliant thing when he edited the Mishnayos, he would have one Mishnah here that records a debate, a machlokas, and then he would have another Mishnah here that would leave out the names and only reflect one opinion without any names. And that's called the Stam Mishnah. The reason he did that is because he wanted to convey that the halacha is like that opinion. And therefore he doesn't even bother mentioning the two names because he's already mentioned the two names and they were at each other's loggerheads in a different Mishnah. In a Stam Mishnah, he's telling you, you should know this is how we paskin like that opinion. So we have a Stam Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah with regard to Kiddush HaChodesh that we could have each aid testify separately and no names are mentioned. That Mishnah could only make sense according to Rabbi Nosson, as we're going to see now in this Braisa that records the Machlokas between Rabbi Nosson and Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. Rabbi Nosson is the one who says, Shomen Eidav Shel Zeh Hayom Ves Eidav Shel Zeh Mochar, that on two separate days we can hear the testimony of the two Eidim respectively, and that's fine. And Bezdin will do the job of putting it all together. 1 + 1 = 2. They don't have to testify one in front of the other. And that itself was codified by Rabbi Yehuda Nasi in the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara here has an agenda. It has an agenda here. The Gemara wants to make sure that our Mishnah could be reconciled with Rabbi Nosson, because our Mishnah is also a Stam Mishnah. And we don't have the luxury of having two Stam Mishnais that contradict one another. So the Gemara is really fixed on the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. This is the Turi Evan's Chiddush, that this whole Gemara is like a Hemshech of Masechta Rosh Hashanah. Once in Rosh Hashanah, we've established a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Nosson, and we don't have to have the Eidim testify one in front of the other. Then how are we going to say Machnisin Osam refers to the Eidim? We're really in trouble unless our Mishnah reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. Let's see the Braisa. The Sanya we learned in the Braisa, this is Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. I shouldn't say this is Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, because everybody agrees that we need Tziruf Kat. But
you just said Rabbi Nosson doesn't.
Okay, but we have to redefine Tziruf Kat. In other words, Rabbi Nosson holds that Tziruf Kat is not a halacha in the Haggadah. Okay, what did I do with the thing here? I just had it. Oh, sorry. Okay, there are two ways of learning Tziruf Kat. One is in the Haggadah and the other is in the Re'iyah. Right, every Eidus is made up of two parts. Number one, Re'iyah, they saw the actual occurrence. And then there's another halacha of Haggadah. It's after they saw it, now they have to come in to testify in front of the Beis Din. So the question is, can we accomplish our goal of Tziruf Kat, of getting these two Edom together as one unit through Re'iyah? The very fact that they saw the event simultaneously and they were aware, you know, I saw you, you saw me, and we both saw it together. Imagine a murder case, right? So Reuven is looking out of this window and something's going on that you don't know, you and I don't want to see up below, and there's another the Shimon looking from another window. They're both looking down at the same spot and they see each other.
Oh, they see each other.
So if they see each other, then we have what's called Tzir Katru Re'iyah, and maybe each one will come in and testify separately. Now in Dini Mamonos we might even go a step further. We may even come to a conclusion that we don't even need Tziruf Kat in Re'iyah, and that's the most extreme kind of opinion, which we're going to see in Rav Nosson in just a minute. But right now the opening line in the Braisa is kind of low key, it's innocuous. We're saying that they both saw the testimony together, and that's called Sheyiru Shneam Ki Echad. Okay, let's underline those words, Yiru Shneam Ke'echad. And it's enough that they see together, and that's all we need. And is that what we need? Again, right now I'm asking you the following question. The opening line in the Braisa says we need Tziruf Kat, and the Tziruf Kat is accomplished through Re'iyah Ke'echad. And is it possible? And again, keep in mind that we're talking about Dini Momenos, we're talking about monetary law. We're gonna have a separate discussion about capital cases where the restrictions and the requirements of Eidos are much more demanding. But in the case of Dini Momenos, at least, we're gonna be much more laid back, and we're gonna allow for Tziruf Kat through Re'iyah. Now, I mentioned to you before there's a possibility of going in a step further that we don't even need Tziruf Kat at all. So there are going to be three possibilities with regard to Dini Mamonos. One is that Tziruf Kat is a requirement in Re'iyah. The other is that Tziruf Kat is a requirement in Haggadah. And the third is that we don't need Tziruf Kat at all. So the Brice opens up with one statement, with one possibility of Tziruf Kat, and that is Tziruf Kat through Re'iyah. Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha Omer, he says, Afilu bazachar zeh. Okay, what does that mean? What he's saying is, Rabbi Shimon Karcha, that although I need Tziruf Kat, I don't need Tziruf Kat in Re'iyah. Why? Because Ein Edusim is Kayimes Bebezin Atshia Idu Shneim Ke'echad. We need that they testify together in sync, one in front of the other, in front of the Bezdin. So that the Brice is telling us, according to Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha, the halacha of Tziruf Kat against the Tanakama, right? So the opening line of the Brice is that Tziruf Kat certainly requires Tziruf Re'iyah, that they both saw the testimony together. Each one is aware of the other aid, and they see it simultaneously as a unit.
The primary commitment.
Right, whatever it is, the halva, let's say, because we're now dealing with Dini Mamonos, so they saw that the loan took place, and they were both there seeing each other at the time the loan. And we don't care about Tziruf Kat B'Shas Haggadah right now, because we have Tziruf Kat already was accomplished B'Shas Re'iyah. That's the first opinion in this price, so the opening opinion, we'll call it the Tanakama. Then Rabbi Yishuv ben Kar shifts the Tziruf Kat requirement from Re'iyah to Haggadah. So it could be, for example, let's say a monetary situation took a few minutes. It was, let's say, a hezek or whatever the case was, and the first aide saw it at time T1, he checked out, and the second aide saw it at time T2. So they're both testifying about the same thing, and where's the Tziruf Kat? They didn't see the halva together simultaneously as a group. But the answer is Anshia Idu Shneim Ke'echad. Now it could be that Anshia Idu Shneim Ke'echad, which we call Tziruf Kat through Kagoda, is a requirement according to the Tanakhama as well, meaning the Tanakhama says that you need a double Tziruf Kat, and Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha says you only need a single Tziruf Kat. The Tanakhama might hold that you need Tziruf Kat B'Shas Re'iyah, and you need Tziruf Kat B'Shas Haggadah, and therefore this statement in the Braisa, Ein Edusim is Kayemes B'Bezdat She'idu Shneim Ke'echad, is a statement that is a continuation of even the Tanakhama, the first opening line. Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha says, Ro Bazecher Zeh, we can still be Mitzarev, we can create Sirv Kat without the Re'iyah. So you're, he's looking at the Tanakhama and he's saying to the Tanakhama, you're making a big mistake if you think that there's an absolute requirement in Dine Mamonos of Tziruf Kat B'Shas Re'iyah. No. I can achieve the goal of Tziruf Kat B'Shas. Everybody? Haggadah. Do we have it? And then, you know, I don't know if you're listening today. I'm going to go over this until I'm convinced that you're listening. The Tanakhama says we must have Tziruf Kat B'Shas Re'iyah. Does everybody have that? Please answer me.
Yes.
According to the first Tana, we need Tziruf Kat B'Shas
Re'iyah.
Okay, I need more lively here. Rabbi Yeshua Ben Karcha says I don't need Tziruf Kat B'Shas Re'iyah because I'm going to have Tziruf Kat B'Shas
Haggadah.
Excellent. Okay,
so
now we have.
I heard that, but I don't understand that second.
Oh, okay. The same, Rabbi Yeshua, everybody so far seems to agree that we have to somehow link up these two witnesses.
Correct.
It's not Bezdin's job to hear one witness, hear another witness. There's no connection. They don't know about each other. They testify together. Nothing. And Bezdin makes the calculation. You know, we have Reuven who said that and Shimon said that. So we're going to put it all together. Name. We need Tziruf Kat from the Eidim themselves. But what do we need? How do we achieve the goal of getting these two Eidim to testify together? According to the Tanakhama, we need not only that they testify together, but we need also that they saw the testimony together, because the shame, the halachic legal status of Eidim begins with Re'iyah. Already at the time of Re'iyah, when they saw the occurrence, the transaction, at that moment they were already considered Eidim. Later on they'll come into Bezdin and it'll be Eidim HaMagidim. They'll testify in front of Bezdin, but first we need Eidim HaRoim. The Re'iyah itself generates the shame Eidim, and therefore we need Tziruf Kat according to the Tanakhama, this price at the time of Re'iyah. And Rabbi Shuman Karch says, no, let them see it separately, one after the other. Right, we're assuming the Maisa that happened took a little bit of a time period. There was a, you know, it's an extension of continuous time. And each aid saw it without being aware of the other aid, because maybe the first aid checked out and the second aid came in. They didn't know about each other. But what they do have to come into cahoots arm in arm for the Haggadah, because we need a Tziruf Kat. And if we don't have a Tziruf Kat B'Shas Re'iyah, when they saw the testimony, then we need Tziruf Kat B'Shas Haggadah. Okay, then. Okay. Then we get to Rabbi Nosson. Now Rabbi Nosson is building on Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha said, "Afilu bazecher zeh," even if they saw it on right separately, so there was no tzir of kapishas reiya. Says Rabbi Nosson, "Shomim dvarav shel zeh hayom ukshiyavu chaveru lemachar shomim es dvarav." We don't even need tzir of kapishas. What? Again, you have two choices, Rabbi. Say the Re'iyah or Haggadah. You got a 50% chance of giving me the right answer. So take a shot at it, okay? Rabbi Nosson says we are allowed to hear the witnesses testify, one witness on Sunday, the other witness on Monday. It means he does not require Tziruf Kat B'Shas. Please help me.
Haggadah,
great. And of a 50% chance, you got it right. But not because you're good gamblers, but because you understood the principle here. In other words, Rabbi Nosson completely rejects the requirement of Tziruf Kat. Again, I can't overemphasize that this is only in Dine Mamonos. Because in Dine Mamonos, in monetary law, all we want to know is the truth, and nothing but the truth. There are no more, according to Rabbi Nosson, no more formal requirements, you know, some sort of xeris akosuv and outstanding legal requirements of how to get them together. And all we need is to find out, did Reuven borrow $1,000 from Shimon? So who cares if the two witnesses didn't see the halfah at the same second and they didn't know about each other? Who cares if they testify on two different days? At the end of the day, Bezdin has two witnesses testifying on the halfah. And if that be the case, then we're stuck with our Mishnah, because the Mishnah says that we have to write Hoya Machnisin Oson. We have to get, and now the Gemara thinks Machnisin Oson is, who's the Oson now according to this Havamina of the Gemara? It's the Eidim. We have to get the Eidim back into Bezdin, both of them together, in order to guarantee Tziruf Kat B'Shas Haggadah. Well, I got news for you. Rabbi Nosson doesn't require Tziruf Kat B'Shas Haggadah. He doesn't require Tziruf Kat B'Shas Re'iyah. He doesn't require Tziruf Kat B'Shas Haggadah. Two witnesses can testify totally separate, one from the other. And Bezdin will be smart enough to calculate and add the two witnesses and make it into a happy two witnesses that testify on this halva. Yeah.
What
would happen? Is that Mishnah against Rabbi Nosson?
So what would happen if you had that second case and their testimonies weren't 100% consistent? You know, they differ in the
details. If there's a discrepancy, again, you have to know, it's got to be a significant discrepancy. You know, if one says he wore a blue shirt and the other said he wore a yellow shirt, you know, that wouldn't be a problem. But if there's a serious discrepancy, you know, one said that that he borrowed $1,000, the other said he borrowed $10,000, you know, something along that line. I mean, you'd have to decide, you know, exactly. But the point is that what, you know, there are two ways of being sure that there's no discrepancy. That's Eidus Mechuvenes. One is because they testify together, one in front of the other. That's called Siruv Kat B'Shas Agoda. And the other is because Shomim Dvar Shalzeh Yom V'Shalzeh Mevachar. And Bezin says, well, we interrogated Reuven on Sunday. He gave us exactly what he saw. And Shimon testifies on Monday. He gave us... And guess what? There's a total... What's the opposite of discrepancy? Total congruence? Is there such a word?
Congruence, yeah.
Congruence, look it up and see if I... my wife keeps claiming I make up new words as I go along. The further I am from the, you know, from the homeland where I started my life, is the more I forget words. But there is some sort of confluence or congruence, whatever the word is, and that's the opposite of discrepancy. So Bezdin sees that they're both saying the exact same thing. So this is Rabbi Nosson. And this is going to force us, Gershon, to come back to your interpretation that the Bali Didim are not in front of the Beis Din, and we're going to have to bring them into Beis Din. But right now, again, as I said, the Gemara thinks that the Bali Didim are standing there in Beis Din. Where are they? So we said that according to some, they're in the corner somewhere. They're still listening from the back. According to others, they're really right up front. And the Gemara thinks they're present there for all the deliberations. So why do we have to get them back into Beis Din when they are in Beis Din? And the Gemara has vested interest in really coming to that conclusion, because the other alternative is that we're bringing the two witnesses back into the courtroom so that they testify one in front of the other, which means that we would need Siruv Kat at the time of the Haggadah. And that certainly is against Rabbi Nosson. Now, this Mishnah could reflect theoretically the Shita of Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, because Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, and please help me here, and I want to make sure you get this right. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha requires Tziruv Kat B'Shas Haggadah. Excellent, excellent. Just remember the Leil Pesach and you remember the answer, right? Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha requires Tziruv Kat B'Shas Haggadah. That's what he says here, is even though they saw the they saw it B'Zecher Zeh, but nevertheless they testified Achia Idu Shneim Ke'echa, they testified together in the courtroom, correct? So it means that one testifies, and immediately afterwards, which is called in the halachic jargon toch kedei dibur, the second witness testifies on the footsteps, on the heels of the first witness, and that's called Tziruv Kat B'Shas Haggadah. Well, that could be wonderful, because in our Mishnah we took each aide separately into private chambers to interrogate him. That's not going to be enough, according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, because there's no Tziruv Kat, and we need Tziruv Kat. And that Tziruv Kat is going to accomplish later when we bring the two aides back into Beis Din. They're going to reiterate their testimony a second time, and this time it's going to be immediately the second witness. Again, I don't know who's going to be the first one to testify this, I don't know. Maybe we'll ask who's older or something like that, or I don't know. And we'll flip a coin, and immediately after the first testimony, we're going to have the second one testify toch kedei dibur, the first testimony. That's called Haggadah Tziruv Kat B'Shas Haggadah. And that could be a great pshat in our Mishnah, but the only thing is that we have a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah that we mentioned earlier, and this is the Chiddush of the Shagas Aryeh, that our Gemara wants to somehow desperately square with Rabbi Nosson, because there's a stam Mishnah like Rabbi Nosson with regard to Eidus and Kiddush HaChodesh. Okay. Now, let's go back again to the mission. I apologize, I just didn't have the time to go one step beyond this wall here to get my Gemara, so I really should have an extra Gemara sitting here, but the question, over Shabbos, you know, I get to the point where I don't want to leave my svarim on this table. This is the Kiddush table, you know, where they get they prepare the... So it's right here. I just don't want to take that 30-second break to get my Gemara, so I'm borrowing your Gemara. And if we go back to the Mishnah says the following. Gavru es hadavar, they concluded and reached the verdict. Hayu machnisin oson, they brought them in. And Hagadol Shebadayonim Omer. Now, what is Hagadol Shebadayonim Omer? Again, the Mishnah is going to be very explicit about what exactly the head judge, so to speak, will say. But let's for a moment go back to the earlier part of the Mishnah. The earlier part of the Mishnah says that Machnisin Osam Lecheder, fine. So each aid is taken separately. And then the Mishnah says, after we send everyone out of the courtroom, and then it says, Mishairin es hagodol shebehen. So I don't know again who the godol of the witnesses is. I mean, there's a footnote here, let's just see if he adds anything. He says, they examine the witness privately in front of the Bezdin, no one's around. And now who is the godol shebehen? Okay, I don't know who this... I don't know exactly who the goal should be. Anyway, the Omer Mlon, they say to him, Amar, Hecha to yodea shezeh chayev lezeh. And this is where the judges will interrogate the witnesses to make sure that they heard an admission, a hodah, which is absolutely binding, which we discussed for about a week here. What's exactly a binding hodah? And after that, then Machnisus Hasheni Ubotkiros. So then they bring in the second witness. So wait, so hold on to this for just a second. Don't lose the place. But it's very possible that when we leave one witness alone and we say to him Hecha Tayodeh Shezeh Lezeh, we haven't fulfilled the requirement of Eidus according to Rabbi Shimon ben Karcha, because, as we said, each Eid is standing in front of the Beis Din separately, privately, and we've interrogated him. How do you know that the Hodah of the Lova was a binding Hodah, etc., etc.? And then the Mishnah at the end says that Machnisin Osan, we're going to bring him back, which means we bring them together, and we have to hear the testimony of the two of them together, and that would reflect the sheet of Rabbi Shimon ben Karcha against Rabbi Nosson. So the Gemara is not happy now, because again, we don't want to have a Mishnah that reflects Rabbi Shimon ben Karcha, because we assume that we paskin like Rabbi Nosson. So the Gemara says, Liolam Lubali Dinim. We're going to have to introduce the Bali Dinim. They must have left the courtroom. And why did the Bali Dinim have to leave the courtroom? We don't have to bring the Eidim back into the courtroom because we already accepted their Eidus, each one separately, and we're holding now like Rabbi Nosson. But we had to send out the Bali Dinim and now bring them back. And this reflects the Sheet of Rabbi Nechemya. Tesanya Rabbi Nechemya Omer, Kachoyim in Hogam Shal Nikiya Das Yerushalayim. We'll get back to that in just a minute. Machnisim Labali Dinim Vishomim Divrayim. Machnisim Sa'edim Vishom Divrayim. And then Motzien Osan Lachutz. Please underline those words. Motzien Osan Lachutz. We take the Bali Dinim and we send them out. And we'll see exactly why in just a second. Vinosim, vinosim, vidavu. We don't want the Bali Dinim present in the courtroom at the time of what's called Masa Umatan, which means the deliberations of Beis Din. Which means that if the witnesses are there, I'm sorry, if the litigants are present in the courtroom, then there's a slight fear that maybe the judges will be inhibited, or in some way their clairvoyant, you know, decision making process might be impaired by the presence of the Bali Dinim.
Sure.
You know, you can imagine that one of the two Bali Dinim owns the city. You know, he owns the major company in the city, and nothing goes on in that city without him. You know, and he's there, and the judges are trying, so they don't have any secrecy here because the Bali Dinim are there. So there's something called the Nikiei Hadas of Yerushalayim. The Nikiei Hadas in Yerushalayim were known for their ethical purity. They were very, very careful about ethics and about morality and about the way they treated each other. In general, the mitzvah that was prominent on their minds was V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. The Gemara says in Sukkah, if I remember correctly, about Nikiya Das Mishlaim, that on Sukkahs they used to walk around holding their Dalad Minim, the whole Sukkahs, and they would go visit people who had never suffered losses, and they would try to cheer them up with the lulav. You know, the esrog and the lulav would be cheering them up. And here also, with a great sensitivity to make sure that tzedek tirdof, that this judgment should be a fair judgment with honesty and precision, they want to get the bali dinim out of the court. Otherwise, there's a chashash, a possibility of what's called nesius ponim, right? No say ponim means to show a certain kind of favoritism. The judges might be even perhaps subconsciously influenced to have a favoritism towards one of the two bali dinim. Now add to that we don't want to create an enmity between the bal din who lost the case and the judges who decided that he should lose the case. So if we keep him second guessing, he doesn't know which judge says which. Again, you know, let's say if we go back to the interpretation of the Ran, that even in the Havavit of the Gemara thought that the Bali Dinim was somewhere in the corner, in the Keren Zavis, they saw it from the rear, they couldn't tell who was saying what. But now the Gemara is going a step further and saying the Mishnah wants to guarantee absolutely, because, you know, there is something called voice recognition. Even if I see you from the back, I can somehow hear your voice and know it's you. And therefore, to make sure and guarantee that there wouldn't be any enmity, shelo yishmu bali dinim esamasu matin shemitokach, because shelo yedu mi chayev mi pot kedesh lo yu, Kedesha Yu Hatayonim Ahuvim Eitzel Pnei Adam. It's interesting, we want to sort of, to the extent we can, to clinch that the judges will be beloved in the eyes of the people. So therefore, take the Bali Dinim, take the litigants out of the court, and let's accept a verdict or come to some sort of decision as the culmination of our deliberation process and voting. We'll vote to decide, and the Bali Dinim will come in to hear the final verdict as it's handed down after the deliberation and after the vote, and everything is signed and sealed. And that's something that even Rabbi Nosson could accept, because again, Rabbi Nosson was the one who said that there's no need to take the Edim and get them together in the courtroom, and we took them out and we bring them back so that they would testify. Rabbi Nosson doesn't have that whole bit, because he holds is shomim dvarv shel eidach hayom udvarv shel chaver lemochar. So we don't need the two eidim to be brought back into the courtroom for a joint testimony, but rather we have to bring the litigants into the courtroom to hear the final verdict. Now you might ask, well, why aren't the litigants there the whole time? And the answer is Nikiya Dasi Bishalayim. They would make sure that the Bali Dinim were not there during the deliberation for one of two reasons, or possibly for both reasons. Number one, that it shouldn't inhibit the decision making process of the Dayanim when they see this one against that one. And number two, in order that the Dayanim should still be beloved in the eyes of the Bali Dinim will not know who voted in which direction. Now before, the Gemara asked the following question, that it doesn't seem anywhere in the Mishnah, if you remember, that we took the Bali Dinim and sent them out. Right? And that was the Gemara's Kasha Hasam Kaimei. Nowhere did it say in the Mishnah that we asked the Bali Dinim to leave the courtroom. Because in the Havamina, the Gemara thought that was a chidush, that we have to ask the Bali Dinim to leave the courtroom, and the Mishnah doesn't mention that chidush, and mitoch lava tashmehen, it means the Mishnah was not makpid, there was no concern about the Bali Dinim being there in the courtroom, because if there was, it should have said it in the Mishnah. But now that we see from the Braisa that this was the minhag of Anshe Yerushalayim, the Nekiya Hadash of Yerushalayim, then we don't have to ask why the Mishnah omitted it, because perhaps the Mishnah was reliant on the Minhag, and the Minhag was like the Anshei Nekiya Hadash of Yerushalayim. So since it was a given Minhag that we asked the Dayanim, the Bali Dinim, to leave the courtroom, there was no need for the Mishnah to mention. Okay. Now before we go on, I just want to mention a kasha here, which caught my fancy. He says, if you read this Gemara, you get the impression that we're only satisfying one opinion, and that's Rabbi Nechemiah. You know, are there any rabbis who disagree with Rav Nechemya? Or was it unanimously accepted that we got to ask the Bali Dinim to leave the courtroom? And from the fact that the Gemara quotes a brisa in the name of Rav Nechemya that we have to ask the litigants to leave the courtroom, it sounds like the Chachamim by implication would allow the litigants to remain in the courtroom. So the question is, how is that possible? Why would the Chachamim allow the Bali Dinim to be in the courtroom? Wouldn't that cause some sort of impact on the deliberations inhibiting the judges? It seems that Rav Nechemya has such a powerful, cogent logic. Why would the Chacham disagree? And add to boot the fact that we're afraid that maybe the Bali Dinim will come to hold a grudge against those judges. They know which judges voted against them. Also, the very fact that Rabbi Nechemya calls it Minhagam Shel Nekiyei Hadas of Yerushalayim, you get the impression that outside of that circle of these very holy, pure people in Yerushalayim, the general minhag was that we didn't take the Bali Dinim and ask them to leave and, check out, Charlie, get outside. So these are the problems that the Ran raises. And he answers the following. The Bali Dinim were already inside the courtroom from the beginning because each one had to put forward his claim. But we put them, if you remember, according to the Ran, out in the Keren Zavis. They were behind somewhere in a corner. So let's say there was a veil or, I don't know, a curtain that separated them. They couldn't hear what was going on exactly in such a way that they would know, which Dayan was voting in, or inclined in which direction, who was defending them, who was putting forth a counter argument against them. And that was enough before the Nekiyei Hadas came along. The Nekiyei Hadas were not satisfied with this. They didn't want to rely on the fact that the Beis Din is going to ask the Bali Dinim to sit in the corner. Do you remember, I don't know if you had such a thing where when you were like in kindergarten and if you were misbehaving, they'd have you sit in the corner, Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And if you were really bad, they made you wear a certain kind of hat or something. Anyway, so the Nekiyei Hadas, weren't comfortable with this whole arrangement, send the Bali Dinim to the outside corner, maybe they will hear, they won't hear, they can see, they can't see. Let's just ask them to leave the Beis Din, and that's even more smooth than having them sit all the way in the back. And not only that, maybe even if the Bali Dinim and the Keren Zavis can't see or hear or identify which judge is expressing which opinion defending, but nevertheless, it still could create a certain inhibition on the part of the Dayanim. I mean, they realize that the Bali Dinim are in the back, and if there's some sort of chashash, a suspicion of favoritism, that they're not going to be able to give a clear, free decision-making process. It's not enough, according to the Nekiyei Hadas Yerushalayim, that we ask them to go to the back of the courtroom. Again, theoretically, the Chachamim against Rabbi Nechemya would say that the protocol of telling the Bali Dinim to sit in the back, that would be technically sufficient, that would cover the bases. Why? Because the Bali Dinim presumably would not be able to see the judges, and the judges wouldn't see the Bali Dinim. They were in the same physical courtroom, but they were separated in such a way that lo roi zeh k'roi zeh. But the Nekiyei Hadas Yerushalayim, although they understood very well that kind of protocol that would cover both of our issues, they weren't comfortable with it. They wanted it chad v'cholok, smooth, without any glitches. Just tell the Bali Dinim to leave the courtroom. Let's not realize that there are many, many possibilities here. They do know which Dayan or the Dayanim are inhibited. Let's just do it in the smoothest way. That was the Nekiyei Hadas Yerushalayim. And once having said so, it would seem that this minhag of the Nekiyei Hadas Yerushalayim, because it was so smooth, and it would cover in an absolute way any of the fears and suspicions we might have, in both directions, you know, in terms of the validinim hearing and identifying the validinim, the judges, the dayanim, or the other direction, the dayanim being aware of the presence of the validinim. Once we have that minug of the Anshei Yerushalayim, then it seems that that minug may have been the wide, it spread wide and far, and the Jewish population at large in various courts accepted that minog, and therefore our Mishnah didn't even have to point out that we sent out the litigants, but the point is that the litigants will be there at the time of the transmission of the final judgment, meaning when the Gadol Sheva Dayanim will declare who is Zakai and who is Chayav. So let's put it this way: the Bali Dinim are in front of Beis Din at three different points, and at one point they're out of the Beis Din. Point number one: they have to come into Beis Din to put forth their claims. Point number two: they have to be in the Beis Din at the time that the testimony is given, because the testimony has to be in front of the Bali Dinim. Now at this point we tell them to leave, we get into the deliberations, and we bring them back into Beis Din, the litigants, at the time of the statement, the final declaration. Okay. Now all this is good until we introduce another brisa. For Asanya, we have another brisa that says that Gomru es hadavar, after the final decision is made, after the deliberations and they vote, is machnisin es ha'edim. It says explicitly that we bring in the witnesses. Obviously the witnesses were sent out, but now we have to get them together, because they were sent out so that we can interrogate each witness separately, and you'll see if the edus is mechuvenis. But then we have to bring the edim back in. Why are we bringing the edim back in? Let them go home and shalom al Yisrael. But the answer is ahi delo ki Rabbi Nosson. There is a brisa that accepts the shita of Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, and we must have what we called again siruf b'shas Hagada, so the Edom will have to reiterate their testimony. So again, if our Mishnah could be squared off with Rabbi Nosson, we're happy, because we don't want to have a stira between our Stam Mishnah and the Stam Mishnah Rosh Hashanah. If on the other hand there's a brisa that reflects the Shita of Yeshua ben Karcha, that's fine. I mean, we don't have any problem with that. It doesn't mean that every last Tana on the face of the earth accepted and embraced the Shita of Rabbi Nosson. Now, Gufa means, let's analyze this subject, to take it in as a separate advice, and forget about our Mishnah now and everything else, the details and the nuances, when we tell the Edom to come in, when we tell to go out, when we tell the Bali Dinim to go out and tell the Bali Dinim to come back in. Let's talk about Siruf Kat. Okay then, Rabbo says, everybody on the... So now we're studying a brisa, the title or the heading of which is Siruf Kat. In other words, how do we achieve a tziruf, an integration of two witnesses? Is just 1 plus 1 equals 2, and Beis Din will achieve that on their own? Or is there some sort of requirement within the Eidus itself of tziruf kat? Li'olam, we saw in the first opinion of the Braisa, Ein Eidusim Itzarefes Ad She'yiru Shneim Ke'echad. We require tziruf kat b'shas. Everybody? Re'iyah, excellent, thank you. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha says, no afilu, b'zecher zeh, we do not require tziruf kat b'shas re'iyah, all we need is tziruf kat b'shas hagadah, b'maiko, mifki, what is the yisod of this machlokas? Ibai say makro, ibai say misvara, it might be they're arguing about how to learn a pasuk, they might be arguing about a certain halachic logic. The Gemara explains, ibai say misvara, what is the svara machlokas, the Tanakama says that we need a tziruf of Haggadah. I'm sorry. According to Tanakhama, we need a tziruf of Re'iyah. Right? Ad she'yiru shneim ke'echad. In other words, if let's say, this is a fascinating question here that we didn't even address until now. What happens if one witness saw a halva, which means, let's say, Shimon bar 1,000 from Reuven, on a Sunday? Now, a second witness comes in and testifies that we saw Reuven lend Shimon $1,000 on Monday. That doesn't make any sense, does it? I mean, in effect, that's what Hazom is all about, that, you know, you could have been with us in Chicago because you were with us in New York, right? So, what does it mean if one aid testifies on Halva that took place on Sunday and the other on Halva took place on Monday? But Rabbo said, what's logically possible in this case? What might have actually happened? If you want to assume that both witnesses are telling the truth, how could it be that Reuven says he saw this Halva took place on Sunday and Shimon says he saw it took place on Monday? No. What I'm suggesting is that maybe Reuven lent Shimon $2,000 on Sunday. He lent him $1,000, and on Monday he lent him another $1,000. That's feasible, correct? You know, Shimon gets a halva from Reuven, and you know he says, "Look, I went to the bursa, I went to the stock exchange, and no one wants to take on my case. You know, none of the financial people. You know, like I always hear about these great financial advisors. You know, they make billions of dollars for people for a bit. So I always say, you know, can you take my $5 and invest it? You know, they're not interested in taking my $5. Anyway, so he comes back on Monday, a day later, and he says, "I need another $1,000. You know, the investment requires $2,000." But according to the Tanakhama, we need Siruf Re'ia. And what Reuven saw on Shimon on Sunday is not what Shimon saw on Monday. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha Omer, Afilu ba Zecher Zeh, I could have a Siruf Kad even on two different edios. And where am I up to? So now we're up to Ibaisei Mesvara. Okay, I see we don't have too much time, but at least let's get through Ibaisei Mesvara so we can start tomorrow Ibaisei Mekra. So what's the logic of the Tanakhama? So Tanakhama says Amona on the $1,000 to Kamasid High that Reuven is testifying because he saw Alva on Sunday, lo kamasid hai. Shimon is not testifying on that same $1,000. Umana the kamasid hai, and the mana that Shimon is testifying about Monday is not the same mana. So basically, according to the Tanakhama, we only have one witness on each halva. How can you possibly, the Torah says, al pishnayim de'edim yokadom, you need two witnesses in order. So you have one witness on one ma'isa shahaya and another witness on another ma'isa shahaya. You only have one witness on each case, which means that the lova, the so-called lova, he could be machish, he could deny both stories. And who's going to contradict him? In other words, you're following, they're testifying that Yankel borrowed from Fletzel Bletzel, right? So Yaakov is going to say, I didn't borrow, neither on Sunday nor on Monday. He's going to deny both claims. You have an Eidech on each one. So what are we going to do with Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha? Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, in that very case where there's absolutely no tziruf in the Re'ia, and now we're giving an extreme case. I told you before that no tziruf for you means that Reuven saw the witness from one window and Shimon saw the case from another window, but they're testifying about the same Maisa Shahaya. But now we're going even a step further, because the Tanakhama is saying that they testified in two different Maisim, and therefore each Maisa is just one aid. What are we going to do with Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha? How is he going to achieve tziruf? And the answer is, Amana bi'alma chavayu komisade. They both testify on what? On one mana bi'alma. What does that mean, bi'alma? Not on the same alva, but on what?
The amount.
The amount? Can you add one more word? The amount that...
That was lent or borrowed.
Exactly. The amount that the borrower owes to the lova. As far as 1,000 is concerned, one mana, both witnesses are testifying that he owes him a mana, whether so. In other words, the machlokas is a very fundamental machlokas: is the edus on the maiso, or is the edus on the chiyuv? What we call in brisket terminology the chiyuv gavra, meaning are they testifying on the story? Then we only have one witness on each story. That's not a kad of edin, and that's the shita of Tanakhama. Rabbi Shuben Karcha says, nein, they're not testifying on the mice. So the mice is only a background, a backdrop. What Bezdin really needs to hear is who owes whom how much money. And what they hear from both Adim, at the very least, is that Yankel Beryl owes Fletzel Yankel $1,000, one mana. That they heard from both Adim. It could be he owes him $2,000. But Chutz, you have to agree, we have two witnesses that he owes him $1,000. So that's what the Gemara says here. So we're up to the Ibois Ema Mirza Shebeli Neder. We'll pick that up tomorrow, because now the Gemara is going to say the Machlokas depends upon kra. They have two different interpretations of a pasuk.
It could be very costly, right?
Say it again.
It could be very costly. I mean, they both went with $1,000. This could be $2,000. It could be very costly to the lender.
Correct, but you cannot create a cot of two witnesses that say that Yankel owes
right.
2,000. That
right.
You can't do.
Exactly.
But what you could do, and this is the argument and the logic of Rabbi Shimon Karach, is you can gather together two Edom on at least 1,000 because they both agree that he owes him $1,000.
Right.
Now, intuitively, we sense, you know, we may identify with the Tanakhama. Tanakhama says, I want Edom on a Maisa. You know, Bezdin will draw the conclusions. You just tell us a story. You are a video camera. That's what Edom is. Tell me what you saw. So he says, well, I saw something on Sunday. The other aid says, I saw something on Monday. There's no Edus Mechuvenis here.
Right.
But comes along Rabbi Shimon Karach, and he says, Nein, what could have is Tziruf on the Gavra, that the Gavra owes at least such and such an amount of money, and that's enough to be Mitzarif the two. Okay, man?